Blog Talk Radio.
In Dallas, Texas, on Friday, August the 4th. Actually, it's been a very nice Friday today. We've had, temperatures in the high 80s, low 90s, but it has not been the type of heat that, let's say, we had a week ago, where we had nearly 100 degrees and extremely hot and humid temperatures. It's not that way at all today. It's been a much more pleasant day, and even now here in the evening, it's much nicer. So, let's keep it this way for a few days, although I have a funny feeling that this is not going to last. We'll go back to typical Texas temperatures and probably by next week. We did get some rain this afternoon, which I think really it cooled off things a little bit. Plus, I love the rain because it means that I don't have to water the grass. Mother Nature does it for me. I save money, I guess, on water when Mother Nature decides to water the grass her own way. Today, we're going to talk about what's going on with the Trump administration, with respect to these leaks. I think this horrible leak to the Washington Post of President Trump's conversations with foreign leaders, I thought that was a very bad thing. The Attorney General came out today, and he's apparently taking it all very seriously, and he should. This is not about parties. This is about the presidency, and this is just a very bad idea, these leaks are. Now, with respect to another big issue of the week, the whole legal immigration plan that President Trump and a couple of senators put out this week. I'll have a few thoughts about that. But let me begin by going back on this day in history, a couple of big things. Back in 1901, Louis Armstrong, one of the great, if not, I would have to say one of the top two or three American performers of the 20th century, a man who I think was known everywhere around the world. He had a tremendous charisma, a tremendous charm. And everywhere you went, everybody knew the music and knew his face and knew his style. Well, Louis Armstrong was born on this day in 1901. He died in 1971. And, of course, he left us an incredible legacy of amazing music. And if you ever want to have some fun, if you really want to have some fun and enjoy a great piece of music, listen to Louis Armstrong sing that song, Hello, Dolly, or that other song, I Got Ideas, or I Get Ideas, which is actually the English version of an old tango called Adios Muchachos. It's fantastic. All I can tell you is listen to those two songs, I Get Ideas and Hold On, Hello Dolly. And then from that, of course, you can go into a lot more of his repertoire. But those two happen to be my favorites, Hello Dolly and I Get Ideas, from Louis Armstrong, who was born on this day in 1901. On a more sad note, on this day in 1944, the family of Anne Frank was arrested by the Nazis. As you know, they had been hiding for about a year to year and a half, and that's when Anne began writing her diary. Well, the family was arrested today. Eventually, they were taken to a concentration camp. I don't know exactly how that part of the story went, but they went to a concentration camp and eventually died. And later after that, they found her diary. But Anne Frank was one of the great stories of the 20th century. In many ways, a very inspirational story that a young woman would write like that in the circumstances that she was living in. So we remember today Anne Frank, who was only 15, I believe, when she died. But that diary is so incredible to read what she was writing at such an important time in her life. You know, when you're 15 and you're a young woman, particularly in that generation, you're thinking about life, you're thinking about getting married, having children, that kind of thing. And she was able to write a little bit about that, as well as her experience and her parents and so on. So we remember Anne Frank, whose family was arrested on this day in 1944. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on at the White House. And I've got a post about this, hopefully coming out Saturday morning. It's been actually a pretty good week for the White House in this sense that, you know, last week we were going through all the chaos of a firing and changes. This week under Chief of Staff John Kelly, it just seems like a different place, a lot more organized. You don't have the chaos that you did before. So I think in many ways it's been a good week for the White House in the sense that it all seems more orderly right now. It seems like somebody's in charge and there's a lot more discipline, and that's a good thing for President Trump, because what we saw the last couple of weeks before John F. Kelly became the Chief of Staff was a chaotic situation that was unsustainable. It had to stop. Well, it appears to have stopped, and that's a good thing. So that's the good news for President Trump. The bad news is these leaks. Now we have a leak to the Washington Post where conversations between the President of the United States and the President of Mexico and the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Australia, these conversations or the transcripts have been leaked, if you will, to the Washington Post, and they've published it. And I think this is very irresponsible on the part of the person who leaked it, and I think it's also irresponsible on the part of the Washington Post. They have got to know how damaging something like this, not just to President Trump, but to the presidency in general, to the country in general. I mean, look, the President of the United States, I know some of you don't like Donald Trump, and that's fine. I didn't like President Obama, and that's fine. But I think the president is entitled to a certain amount of privacy when he's talking to foreign leaders. And the idea that everything he says to the president of Mexico or to the prime minister of Australia is going to find its way to the front pages of the Washington Post, I'm sorry. That is truly, completely irresponsible. And that has to stop. Now, the attorney general came out today, and they're going to go heavy against these leakers, and they should. I like to see somebody go to jail. I like to see one of these leakers go to jail, because particularly this last one with the transcripts, I thought this was way over the top. You know, there's going to be leaks. I guess that's a way of life, they say, in Washington. There's going to be leaks here and there. But this was a major leak that was truly a threat to the presidency. So I hope they find out who did it, and I hope they put that person in jail, because that's exactly what should happen to anybody who leaks this kind of information. We'll see how that develops. But I saw a little bit of the attorney general this morning, and he looked pretty serious, and he should be pretty serious. This was a bad thing to leak these transcripts. As I mentioned, President Trump came out with a legal immigration plan that changes the focus of legal immigration. For a long, long time, legal immigration to the United States was basically based on merit. In fact, for a long time, immigration was completely shut down for parts of the 20th century. Then in the 1960s, it was expanded so that it would favor family reunification. Now it looks like the Trump administration wants to bring it back so that it goes more into a merit type program, which I think is actually a good idea. I actually think this is better for the country, because it allows the country to attract many of the people that the country needs. For example, I saw a story in the newspaper that we're going to have a shortage of something like 30,000 doctors over the next 10 to 15 years. Well, this is why you have a merit immigration program, where you bring people to the United States who fill that need. So you bring in doctors to fill the gap of a domestic shortage of doctors. I also read that we have a very serious shortage of mechanics, automobile mechanics. Well, bring in people with that skill to fill that need. So in other words, you're going to bring people in who have a specific talent or something they can do to help the economy. I think that's better for all. I really do. I think when you have an immigration program that is strictly based on family reunification, I think that goes too far the other way. Obviously, there's always going to be in the American system space and room for people for the government is always going to find room to bring families together and to do special situations like was done with our family back in the 60s and with many Cubans who were brought to the United States as political refugees. So you're always going to have room for that. But I think the bulk of the immigration has to be merit-driven, as is the case, frankly, with most countries around the world. If you look at most countries, they allow you in, but you're going to have to prove up front that you've got something to contribute and that you've got a talent that you're going to bring to the country that is going to make that country stronger economically, and I don't see anything wrong with that approach. Let me tell you about a couple of shows that we did this week. The first one was with Alan Wall. We did that on Tuesday, where we talked about the situation in Mexico. Mexico is getting itself geared up for the 2018 presidential elections. So I think over the next year or so, you're going to be hearing a lot about the campaign in Mexico and elections. And keep an eye on Mexico, because there is a candidate who is leading the polls right now, and his name is Andrés López Obrador. This is the same candidate who ran twice for the presidency. He came very close in 2006. He came very close in 2006, losing the presidency by about 250,000 votes. And this is obviously a man of the left. And many people in Mexico are concerned that he may get elected president, meaning somebody from the left. This is something to think about, because the last thing we want is Mexico to be governed by somebody from the left who is going to have a hostile attitude to the United States. Again, we're not sure that he's going to win, but he is, of course, at the moment leading in the polls. That may not mean that he's going to win, but clearly you have to keep an eye on that situation down there. We're going to do so over the next year or so in some of our programs. We're going to be keeping an eye on the presidential election in Mexico. Always very important for the United States to have stability south of the border. The other program that we did was on Wednesday. We had a conversation with Daniel Ducanal, who is a blogger in Caracas, Venezuela, and we got a firsthand look at what happened last Sunday when they had a referendum in Venezuela, a referendum to rewrite or replace the Constitution with a system that clearly favors President Maduro and the Chavez organization. A lot of people objected to the referendum. There's all kinds of evidence of fraud. The situation in Venezuela right now is extremely unstable. Demonstrations, marches, the instability has obviously gotten to the economy. And I wrote a post today over at Babalu about the currency, the Venezuelan currency. Right now, $1 will get you 14,100 bolivars, which is the currency in that country. Well, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad, considering many of us. It wasn't that long ago that the currency was 4.29, meaning 4 bolivars for 1 American dollar. Today, it's 14,000 for 1 American dollar. So that gives you an idea of the total breakdown of confidence. I would assume the inflation is extremely high in Venezuela as well, and that's usually when you have these crazy changes in the currency, that's also a sign of inflation. So things are going very bad in Venezuela right now, extremely bad. I think you have a failed regime, you have a failed government, and it's only a matter of time before the whole thing collapses. Of course, when it does, it's going to have an impact on Colombia. It's going to have an impact on other countries, but particularly Colombia, because they have a big border with Venezuela, and they may very well be flooded with Venezuelan refugees. So it's a very bad situation in Venezuela. Keep an eye on it. We will do our best on the program as well as the blog to keep an eye on the situation down there, but it's extremely, extremely bad. Thank you so much for listening to our show, and thank you very much also for reading our American Thinker post. I usually post just about every day, and many of you I know read the post at the American Thinker. I put them over at Facebook, and I put them over at Twitter, and then I put them in my own blog. So we try to get it out to you different ways, but of course it all starts at the American Thinker, usually early in the morning. Thank you for listening, folks. Have a wonderful weekend. And the Cowboys played a game last night, and I think they won. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.